Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's our favorite time of week where you download the crazy sheets, you get you something hot to drink if you're on your way to work, something cold if you're sitting at home. I'm Mark, I'm here in the podcasting studio, other night is my backyard. Scotty, you might be at home tonight just from looking at you on the screen.
I am at home. It's nice. got through scouting my son's opponent because my wife has told me I was not allowed, since we don't play this Saturday, to set foot on those fields this weekend. So I had to go watch some team that we're playing. I guess the next guy we're going to beat the brakes off of.
You sound like me. Like last week, Friday night, went to the high school game. Got to see a kid named Connor Wegman play. Get a chance to look him up. He plays for Bridgeland. He's committed to go to A&M next year. First time I've ever seen a 4.5, 5-star high school quarterback play in person. And it was fun. I mean, it was different to see a kid with that kind of vision, athletic ability, you know, could move. It looked like a completely different player than a lot of the other kids on the field. And so, yeah, but we'll be betting on him in a couple of years, so we can just wait till then to keep talking about him.
Well, A&M needs him. They need to go the way of Ohio State and the kid from South Lake Carroll that they just rolled right on out as a senior and just got him a UIL deal and just said, come on up, baby.
Let's jump into that real quick. Let's get back to last week. We'll recap. Man, A&M tried everything they could to lay a flat clunker in that game and lose. I didn't think Jimbo called a very good game. Then they lose their quarterback. They bring in the backup that everybody had, you know, so much confidence in coming in the season because there was a quote-unquote quarterback battle. He looked terrible right up until the end of the game. This week they're laying a huge number against New Mexico in this spot. I'm not going to touch it, but if you're the Aggies going into conference play with all that hope, I think people forgot this is a really young team. You're going to get nicked up with some injuries. There's going to be some mistakes, but that if you're holding an under 9.5 ticket on A&M, you've got to feel pretty good about it right now from what you've seen so far.
I'll say this. I don't know where Jimbo gets off running his Kate Cole, because they've been abysmal. They've laid two eggs. And, man, they got Bama staring them in the face. It is – they just do not look – like. I'll say this. I hadn't seen 2 weeks worth $10 million or almost $10 million. Hell, I ain't seen it worth $7.5 million that they were already paying him. I mean, I don't know what in the world is going down on down in College Station, but that looks like bad judgment.
Another thing we could talk about that wasn't very good is we don't have to go into detail. Florida State losing to Jacksonville State on quite possibly.
How are you in that coverage?
It's terrible. I haven't seen that since a high school game. He said he was running two-man under because he didn't want to give up, you know, the early screen running. I don't know what he was doing. It's terrible.
He thought they might give up. He said they might get two plays.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to run that defense and get beat on one, which is exactly what happened. They ran the same play three times in a row against the same defense three times in a row, and it bit them. I mean, unbelievable. I cannot believe Florida State blew that game and can't believe they were in that defense. I mean, you just absolutely cannot let that happen. But on another note, as we slide to another game, how about SC firing Clay Helton? We're 2 weeks in. Why in the hell did you bring him back if you were going to fire him after 2 weeks? And I understand they look terrible. FYI, they look terrible several times over the last few years. You should have fired him before. Like, I just do not understand. I'm telling you, just my standard rant, ADs are idiots. That's pretty well the gist of it.
Yeah, why you fire him after the second week of the season doesn't make any sense to me, because that means you had to have gone into the season leaning towards firing. And I get that.
No question.
I totally get that. But the second week of the season, it's one of those deals where now it's like, what are you going to do? You know, you can't really go out and start recruiting a new head coach anytime soon. Bob Stoops is not going to take the USC job. Urban Meyer's not going to take the USC job. Then you start floating out, you know, Luke Fickell. He's not going to take it. Matt Campbell's not coming out there.
You know, Mark, when they lost by 50 to Bama, what was that, 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you knew he wasn't the right guy for that job. They looked like they had no business on that field. No. And look, I like Clay. It seems like an awesome guy.
Yeah.
So, which is all the more reason why you don't fire the guy week two. I mean, it's not like he's a dirtbag. I mean, he's a good dude teaching those guys the right things from a character standpoint. Let the guy finish out the season. I'm telling you, it's just unbelievable. It is amazing how many bad decisions they can make. I mean, we've talked about three teams, and two of them have made what I think are just absolutely moronic decisions on pay and firing and stuff like that at this point during the season. It's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Another bad decision, Florida State offensive lineman getting engaged in the end zone opposite of Jacksonville State celebrating in the other end zone. I was like, man, kid, I understand you wanted to get engaged today and you thought you'd win, but when you lose, you put that ring back in your pocket and you wait a couple of weeks.
I feel bad for that kid because, you know, he had it all planned out. He's already told all the parents. He's already told everybody, and then they lose. And, I mean, in the background of that picture, they're still out there celebrating.
And then the
it's
other
just bad. That's bad luck. I do feel bad for that kid because, I mean, how do you – because you know he's probably called – I mean, look, that's the Southern way. You know he's called the dad and told him he was going to ask her, make sure she's there, you know, all of that. And then if she'd have rolled home from that game with no engagement, everybody would have been like, what in the world went on, you know? I'm like, oh, I feel bad for that kid.
What about the lady in Hattiesburg, the mustard buzzards that had a baby at the game?
That is so awesome. If you didn't bring this up, I was going to say, how about Mississippi getting their Mississippi on? And look, somebody was trying to go to the bathroom. I heard about this on a group text. Like, somebody fires it off. Somebody's at the game. They can't go down through the tunnel because somebody's having a baby. It's hysterical. I mean, just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing more effed up than that when it comes to having a baby is my cousin that I don't talk to ever shows up, he and his wife, at another cousin's wedding, and I watched this guy all night long, he and his wife, just burning cigarettes and bombing Jameson, and then 3 weeks later she has a baby and she said she didn't know she was pregnant. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's
like, you've gone 8 months without having a period. How do you not know you're pregnant?
And it was their second kid. It wasn't like it was their first one. I was like, what are you talking about? You didn't know you were pregnant.
That is awesome. How did I not know this story?
I don't know. It's just, you know, family's weird, man. Stuff happens at times. But yeah, you know, when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, you had a baby in a bathroom at a football game. It's like, those aren't air-conditioned typically. I know the bathrooms in Hattiesburg aren't air-conditioned. I mean,
no, there's no way they are.
Oh, my God.
There's no way. And look, if you're that close, who in the world's going to a football game?
I don't know. That was the strangest thing I read or saw when I went back through everything last week. It even outdid the Florida State game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Saturday was there were some interesting results, some interesting outcomes. You know, last week went better for me than it seemed on the podcast. I've got to tell you that I think Iowa State, Iowa, I expected Iowa to win that game. I said I thought they were going to dominate. I did not expect them to dominate it that thoroughly physically. I mean, they just pounded them.
Yeah.
I mean, and everybody's, well, they got a turnover. It's closer than it looked. Iowa was in control of that game from start to finish. And the flip side, man, it doesn't surprise me, Oregon covering, which we totally got gypped. It's funny, I made the comment, I can't remember the last time I covered by a half point, and the hook was the difference on an under, and then I didn't get it the next week on the over by a half point. So it just kind of worked out. But for Ohio State to get dominated at home like they did was really surprising to me. And look, that defense is more talented than giving up as many points as that team's given up. I guess it's their last three games they've given up an average of 40, yeah, basically.
I think Joe Moorhead called a fantastic game. And
he
did.
How about the Santa beard?
Yeah, that guy looks
– he went full Santa Claus on us on the sideline. I mean, look – I need him to just go for a team that's got red so he can just come out in a full Santa suit.
Oh, man. But, yeah, he called a great game. I think the Pac-12 is wide open. I honestly think right now, other than Alabama, no one has shown me that they are ready to be in the college football playoff yet.
And now, I think Georgia's the only team just because they've got a really good win.
Yeah. But that they've still got some holes in their roster. That I think that we're going to probably see as they get rolling. The SEC in general, I like Kentucky, what I'm seeing from those guys. Very impressed. I like what I'm seeing out of Ole Miss. Obviously, Mississippi State came and bit us last week in the NC State game. They just – defensively, Mississippi State played really well. And it gave NC State some problems. At halftime, I talked to you, and I was like, we're in – you know, midway through the second quarter, I was like, NC State's still going to win this game, and they're going to cover. And then it the landslide started, and NC State had no answer for it.
I actually did not think State played very well on offense. I thought Will Rogers missed some open guys. I thought he was late throwing the ball a couple of times. Tulu Griffin, Mississippi State's kick returner, is legit. I mean, get that guy the football. He's not touching the football nearly enough. He either houses it. I mean, look, he returns the opening kickoff to set the tone in that game. And look, that was a huge play.
Yeah.
A huge play in that game. It got the crowd zeused up, and that it just got it loud and got it rolling from the get-go. But he did the same thing. He's the kid who sparked it with a big kick return against La Tech and then had a big catch in that game. That guy just makes plays. He's electric. I think you'll see teams stop kicking to him. State's got to figure out how to get that guy on the field and get him the ball. A friend of mine says he's young, he's inexperienced, he does. I don't care. Players make plays. State doesn't have a deep enough roster to have a dude like that sitting on the sideline not touching the ball at least 10 or 15 times a game.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And like I said, keep looking through this. You look out west, now you've got Oregon, you've got UCLA's playing well. I still think Utah has a chance to win the Pac-12. I think the Big Ten, with Ohio State losing, I think the Big Ten's wide open. I really do. I mean, I know that Wisconsin already lost a game, Penn State's won a game, but I mean, let's not ignore Michigan just yet. I think Michigan, I don't think they can win it, but I definitely think they're going to beat some teams that they shouldn't. The Big 12, Oklahoma still is going to have to step up and show me. There's nobody in that conference I've seen that can beat Oklahoma, and I think they're going to cruise through this thing, which is great because I've got a ticket on them to win the conference, but I haven't seen anybody. But they're going to have to step up and start playing ball if they want to be respected on a national level.
I'll say this, my Oregon flyer for the Natty has got a chance after that win this weekend.
Absolutely, it does.
I mean, that's a big deal. I still think, and I thought going into the season, I really did. I just didn't know, from a roster standpoint, Arizona State's the best roster in the South. And I felt like that going into the year, but I didn't know how they were going to respond to that investigation and the COVID violation, which who gives a rip? Only people pissed off about that were the coaches that are too lazy to actually get out and work during COVID or were in a state that was shut down. Who cares if they had kids on campus? I just think that's irrelevant. Let's talk about something relevant. I mean, it's recruiting, for goodness sakes. I mean, if they can get a kid and a kid wants to come to campus, so be it. I think this is much ado about nothing. But I do think that roster is really good. I really did feel like them and Oregon had a chance to be the two best teams in the league. Still think that after last week. Going to find out a lot about Arizona State this weekend because BYU looked good against Utah, but Utah should have won that game. They were the better football team, just made a bunch of mistakes, and BYU capitalized on them. I still think BYU's a little bit of fool's gold this year, but maybe that also means that Utah's a little fool's gold because Utah is one of those schools that's benefiting from the transfers.
Yeah.
They're getting a lot of credit for guys coming in, and it doesn't look like all those guys are quite as good as people thought they were going to be for that football team. So that's something to keep an eye on over the next couple of weeks. Last week was a fun week. Boy, Florida came out. We didn't talk about this game much. It just drilled USF and then just went to sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, just completely went to sleep second half. So anyway, fun week. I'm with you. I think Kentucky's pretty good. I think Ole Miss pretty good. I am selling LSU. I don't think they're very good. That is what is really interesting to me about UCLA this weekend. We've already seen that Oregon's now a good football team, and Fresno gave them all they wanted. Now you got Fresno going into L.A. to get some of UCLA. That's going to be a fascinating game this weekend. So a lot of good stuff. These next 2 weeks really set the tone. And look, they set the tone for Vegas too, because October's when it gets nasty on the gambling front.
Yeah.
You better be dialed in, because Vegas is going to get dialed in these next couple of weeks too. So this is when it gets tough. So it's going to be fun these next few weeks.
Yeah, I plan on coming back to Iowa State in October. They've started slow the last several years. They've been better in October. We'll see if we're going to get back to them in the fold. I'll tell you one more thing, Scott, that I heard last week. Has nothing to do with football, but I was standing in the bathroom at that high school game, and this old man next to me farted, and I just kind of glanced at him, and he told me that was – he said, man, that's going to itch when it dries. I just started laughing like I was in third grade.
That is hilarious.
Oh, never seen a guy in my life, and he gave me one of the best one-liners I've ever heard. And I just gave it to all y'all. Steal it and use it as you choose, because that was pretty funny. But anyway, Scotty, last week, 5-4, stayed on the right side of the Mendoza line, moves us to 15-5 on the season. Got a big week coming up. Week 3 is interesting. Let's jump in. First game I want to go to, why wouldn't we? Let's jump into this Friday night game, UCF and the Ville. This game's going to be at the Ville. Over-under here is 68. Louisville's getting 7 at home. UCF scoring 50 points a game, giving up 22. They're 2-0 straight up and 1-1 against the number. Louisville scoring 27 points a game, giving up 23. They're 1-1 straight up and 0-2 against the number. Scott, you know where I'm going. It's a weeknight game. Short week for both of these teams. I'm going under in the first half, 34.5. You got to get 5 touchdowns to get this done. And I know this is a big marquee game, and we saw Louisville in this same spot a couple of weeks ago against Boise. I really think Gus Bus likes the play he's getting out of his quarterback. I think that offense is running very confidently. But more importantly, I think the defense is really shoring up for this UCF football team. This is going to turn into a really good unit. They've got an upgrade in their coaching staff. I firmly believe this coaching staff is better than last year's coaching staff. This is a big game for UCF. This is literally like the perfect spot for UCF. Even though they're favored and they're going on the road, they're playing a Power 5 school. And UCF plays with a chip on their shoulder. And defense is where that's going to show. I think that Louisville is a mess. I've said this from the offseason. I think there's problems in that locker room. I don't think there's a lot of good team leadership there. I think we saw that in the Ole Miss game when they got ran out of the building. I like the under in this spot. I think UCF controls and dominates this game, but I don't think it goes over 5 scores in the first half.
I totally agree with you about Louisville. Look, I think there's upheaval in the community. A lot of things going on in that, you know, deal. That's where one of these police murders took place. That's been a gigantic deal in this community. I think there's a lot of upheaval in that city and in that program. So I think Louisville faces a challenge. I do expect them to be really hyped up, and that's what I love about this bet. You got the better team going on the road. Gus Bus is probably going to be a little more conservative in the first half, try to not make any huge mistakes that puts Louisville in the game. You're going to have a crowd that's zeused up. You're going to have a team that's all zeused up. And that just simply leads to a first half under. And we got to have 5 TDs to lose this thing.
Yeah, you get
5 TDs.
You get 1 field goal in there, and you're probably okay. You get a field goal on a punt, and you're pretty well set, I think, in this spot. And so,
that's exactly right.
Because neither
I think it's very likely we get a couple of punts. I really do.
Yeah, I won't disagree with that. Neither one of these teams runs with a ton of tempo. They both want to run the ball. I'm going under here at 34.5. Scott, let's go to a big game this week. Cincy, Indiana. Cincy's got some huge games the next couple of weeks. But Cincy comes in here, they're going to Indiana. Indiana is getting 3.5 at home. Over-under's 49.5. This is game 127 to 128 in your rotation sheet. Cincy's scoring 45 points a game, giving up 10, 2-0 straight up, 1-1 against the number. Indiana's scoring 31 points a game, giving up 24. They're 1-1 straight up and 1-1 against the number. So you may not have even seen Cincy play yet. But look, man, this team got just about everybody back. They've got one of the best coaches in the country, in my opinion. I put him in the top 10. I like what Ritter does. He doesn't make mistakes. It's like you've got an extra coach on the field. And I think the defense is going to be a solid unit for Luke Fickle. He coaches it. He's proud of it. Indiana, on the flip side, I think this team was way overhyped coming into the season. And we were against them in week 1. We're going to go against them here again in week 3. They're getting 3.5 at home. I don't think that's enough points. Michael Penix Jr. is an explosive player. And he's hurt. This guy is like 7 to 8, 9 months out of ACL surgery, major surgery. You just do not recover from that. And when you got to have your legs to make explosive plays, you just don't have it here. And you may not even have the confidence in it. And obviously, Jack Tuttle, the backup quarterback for Indiana, does not have the confidence in the coaching staff, or he would be playing more. So I like Cincy here. This is a giant game for these guys. I know Indiana's not ranked, but they've had this game circled. Trust me, it's going to be on national TV. It's going to come in right after game day. I like Cincy covering 3.5 on the road. I don't even think this game's going to be close.
Cincy's new next couple of games, obviously, I got Notre Dame. I guess that's 2 weeks out on the horizon. That's a huge game. Obviously, Freeman being there makes that an even bigger story in 2 weeks. But they've got to win this ball game, and candidly, got to win it convincingly to have a chance to be one of those teams that's involved in a playoff discussion late in the year, because I think they can lose to Notre Dame depending on what Notre Dame does the rest of the way and still be included in that. Maybe. If they go put a Toledo effort up and it's a last second loss or it's a really close, hard fought football game, then I think they've got a legitimate chance. They go win that football game and clearly they're going to, and they've won Indiana. Well, then I think they're legitimately, if they go undefeated in a conversation to make it, especially with what's happening with other leagues.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to have a lot of leagues, that, you know, very, very likely Clemson's still going to win the ACC, and they're out of it for the most part. They're not going to get in over Georgia.
No.
Whether they should or shouldn't is irrelevant. They're not going to get in over Georgia. And I know it was early in the season, but that's not going to happen. So Cincy's got to go and play well. And they have answered the bell when that was the case every time these last couple of years under Fickell. So I agree with you. I think they go. I think they cover this. I don't think it's enough points. I'm with you. I think Penix is hurt. And I just simply do not think. I think Indiana's a lot of COVID was COVID good. Everything worked well for them last year when a lot of things were happening. They shouldn't have won that Penn State game that got them on a roll. They don't win that game in a regular year. So anyway, it's the end of the day. I'm selling on Indiana, and I like Cincy here.
Scotty, next one. Let's go to a giant Big 8 old rivalry game, 125-126 on your rotation sheet. Nebraska traveling to Oklahoma. Over-under here, 63. OU's laying 22.5. Nebraska scoring 34 points a game, giving up 13. Oklahoma scoring 58, giving up 17. Both these teams have won two games. Man. This is a big game 25, 30 years ago. OU laying 22. That's a lot of points. What are we going to do here?
You know, I candidly like the over more in this game than I do the line. That seems like a big number. I do think Oklahoma's capable of covering it, but the over-under just says, look, Nebraska's moved the football. We talked about this in that Illinois loss. You know? And you look at their statistics, and they have gotten up and down the field. And it should be that same situation today. Oklahoma is better on defense, but there are still holes in that defense. And at the end of the day, when you can score like Oklahoma can score, it doesn't make it necessary to play defense. And make no mistake, I think that matters. Oklahoma's played some really good football teams in the playoff and in those first set of bowl games around it, the Sugar Bowl, they've beaten Alabama, they've beaten Auburn, they've beaten some good teams in those games. So they can play good enough defense when it matters. But when you're scoring 50 every week, you don't have to slow it. All you got to do is slow them down. You don't have to stop them. And I think that's a lot of what we're going to see this week. So I like Scorefest here. Yeah. I think we get a lot of points, but I think you probably see 50 just from Oklahoma, and I think we'll get a couple of touchdowns and get our cover from Nebraska.
I would tell you, if you like this game, go ahead and bet it early. This line's moved up a point since we started talking about it just 2 hours ago. It's already moved from 62 to 63, so I would definitely look at jumping on this one. Scotty, MAC game of the week, Coastal Carolina, the chance. They're traveling up to Buffalo. This is game 121-122 on your rotation sheet. Over-under is 58. Buffalo getting 14 at home. Coastal scoring 50 a game, giving up 18. They're 2-0 straight up and 1-0-1 against the spread. Buffalo scoring 36 a game, giving up 17.5, 1-1 straight up, 1-1 against the number. Where are we going here?
Same thing. I like Coastal. I like laying the points on the road. They went on the road a couple of times last year, laying and put a whooping on some people, laid big numbers up there. I think they can do it again. Everyone that's listened to us preseason knows I am down on Buffalo, down on this coaching staff. I think this is a significant downgrade from coaching staff, and I think Buffalo is really going to struggle. Candidly, I think Coastal might very likely beat Nebraska, and this team just got rolled up in Lincoln last week with a marginal effort from Nebraska. So I like Coastal here laying the points going on the road because Buffalo's not much for home field advantage. It's not like that place is going to be rowdy and rocking. I like Coastal here.
I do too. Here's my main thing is I like the roster situation. Buffalo lost 10 kids that transferred after Leopold left. Some went to Kansas, some went other places. The coaching change happened really late, and Buffalo had he's a first-time coach at Buffalo trying to still install most of what he wants to do. And the other thing is Coastal Carolina is the only team in the country that runs this offense. And if you have to get ready for it on 1 week time, that's where they've caused so many teams problems. And where they've really caused problems is beating up on teams that are in that group of five level. I know that's what we saw them play last year, but they've beaten up on these teams pretty much. And I think Coastal looks at this as their first big test to go on the road. They get this win against a MAC team that's been pretty good over the years, been very good actually. But I can't ride with Buffalo plus 14. Give me the chance, minus 14 in this spot to keep it rolling. Scotty, let's go to a game people are actually going to watch. Let's go to game 143, Bama, Florida. This is an interesting game. Bama's over under 60. Bama's laying 15 points in the swamp. Bama's scoring 46 points a game, giving up 13. They're 2-0 straight up. They're 1-1 against the number. Florida's scoring 38 points a game, giving up 17. They're 2-0 straight up, 0-2 against the number. Scotty, how are we going to play this?
Man, the dreaded first half line for Bama is back, baby. Just bet the tide. We're riding it again. This is a short number at 8.5 in the first half. I think they're easily going to cover for this number. But when you look at this, Florida, they're averaging 8.5 yards a carry through two games. Let me tell you what's not going to happen. Them get 8.5 yards a carry tomorrow. Bama, just on the flip side, is only giving up two yards a carry. I think it's Florida offense is going to struggle to move the football against this Alabama defense. I think Alabama is not going to struggle moving the ball against them. This is a really, really talented team. Look, Mullen will circle this game. It's a huge game in the swamp. He'll have those guys zeused up, but at the end of the day, Bama's just got too much firepower for these guys. This starts an interesting run for Alabama where we're going to be able to watch these guys. They got Ole Miss, they got Mississippi State, they got A&M, all these guys on deck that they're about to play to get Southern, I think Southern Miss next week, that they play next week. So this is a game that the Tide needs to come out and put their foot down, and that's exactly what I expect to happen. Lay the 8.5. They'll have a 10 or 14 point lead at halftime.
I would think so. Saban's proven that he likes to get up on these teams, and that way in the second half he can just kind of lean on them. And I think that's what you're going to see here. I think they'll be up by 10 to 14 points. I wouldn't be even surprised if it's not more than that, because I could easily see this game being 28-7 at halftime. And Bama just being in total control and Florida being in disarray. I mean, we haven't talked about it a ton, but they've changed the offense completely. They're running a two-quarterback system, which means they still don't really have a proven quarterback. And again, you don't – other than the quarterback, you know, what's it, Anthony Richardson, AR-15, I haven't seen anybody on that Florida team that can make explosive plays as in a game-breaker. You know, they don't have Pitts. They don't have Trask. They don't have Tony. So I don't know who they're going to rely on if they can bottle up this run. And I think the game plan will be good. I do not see Dan Mullen out coaching Nick Saban with this roster that he's got this year. Let's go over 8.5 in the first half. Scotty, let's stay in the SEC. Let's go to game 181 on your rotation sheet. Auburn traveling up to Penn State. This is going to be a whiteout game. Auburn over under 52.5. Penn State laying 5.5 currently. Auburn scoring 61 points a game, giving up 5. They're 2-0 straight up, 2-0 against the number. Penn State scoring 30 points a game, giving up an 11. They're 2-0 straight up and 2-0 against the number. Scotty, we're back in the SEC. What are we going to do?
I like the Auburn-Penn State under. I think this is going to be a fight in the phone booth. I want to take Auburn so bad I don't know what to do, because Penn State just looked bad, really bad. But it's a whiteout. That's going to be a great environment in Pennsylvania this weekend. Happy Valley's going to be rocking. That place is going to be fun. This is going to be – I mean, this game is going to be a whole lot of fun to watch and to be a part of. But I think it's going to be a slugfest. But you've also got to look – Nix has struggled on the road.
Oh, man.
He's been a totally different quarterback over his career on the road. And here you go. Even though I like what this staff is doing better, it's a total switch in offenses. I mean, it's more of a pro-style deal. I also think that Auburn defense is really talented, and James Mason's doing a really good job with them as well. And so I think this just sets up for slugfest. And I don't think Clifford can move the football on these guys at all. Man, it wouldn't surprise me if this is a 17-10 kind of football game. A lot of people think Penn State is the better team and going to win it. I don't know about that. Auburn's still a talented football team, but it all rests on Nix. I think nobody thinks he's going to play well on the road, so we're going to skip the points and take the under and expect for the slugfest under 53.
Yeah, I completely agree. This is the third offensive coordinator Penn State's had over the last 3 years, so you're still installing a new offense. I don't trust Sean Clifford. They had a lot of turnovers in that Wisconsin game. Wisconsin played a terrible football game, and Penn State still snuck away and won that one. Auburn hasn't played anybody. I mean, Bo Nix, he's going to see first-time, big-time football game speed on the road this season at Penn State this weekend. And I think the defense will be dialed up. I think they're going to confuse Bo Nix. I will admit wholeheartedly if I'm wrong when we're on here next week, but until Bo Nix shows me he can win a game on the road, I can't back him, but I can back some fuck-upness, and I'm going to do that right here, and we're going to go with the under at 53. Scotty, let's
move. Well, and I think Auburn's got to lean on their tailback. I
mean, yeah.
Look, Tank can run the football. That guy's a solid player. He's probably, if he's not the best running back in the league, he's certainly one of the best running backs in the league. But Bigsby can get it done, and he got it done last year. I think they're going to lean on him. He's been better again this year. I do think that offensive line's been a little bit better for Auburn than I expected, but they also hadn't played anything like this. So, again, I expect really low scoring.
Let's head out west. Oklahoma State, Boise State, game 197-198 on your rotation sheet. Over-under's 57.5. Boise laying 4 at home on the Smurf turf to the Cowboys when they come in here. Oklahoma State scoring 25 points a game, giving up 20. They're 2-0 straight up, 0-2 against the number. Boise State scoring 42 points a game, giving up 24. They're 1-1 straight up and 2-0 against the number. I'm rolling with the Smurf turf in this one. I definitely think the Smurf turf's a home field advantage. You're going to be a little bit higher at altitude in this spot. This is a late-night game for Oklahoma State to be coming out there. And Oklahoma State, to me, has not looked good. I've watched them play twice this season, and even back to last season. I mean, 2 years ago with Sanders, Tylan Wallace, and Chuba Hubbard, I went into last year thinking this team was going to be explosive on offense. And I haven't seen it from Sanders at all. He has not improved. In my opinion, he's actually regressed because he doesn't have the explosive players around him to rely on. Boise State, on the other hand, I like the quarterback play. I like what Avalos has done with the defense. I think this team's playing with a lot of pride. I mean, I know they lost a gut-wrencher down at UCF to start the season, but this is a big deal for them. You don't get Power 5 teams that come to Boise very often. I mean, hell, the last one I can remember, I'm sure Utah's been in there, but I can't remember it, was when Oregon and Boise State played and LeGarrette Blount knocked out the defensive tackle for Boise State, and that was like 10 years ago. I mean, so it's not very often you get Power 5 teams to come to Boise. Kudos to Oklahoma State for this, but I don't think they're going to have the explosiveness to get this one done. I like Boise laying the 4 in this spot.
Yeah, the interesting part, you talk about Oklahoma State looking bad. First, How in the world, opening week, did we forget to talk about Bobby Petrino playing the mullet? Oh, that's not a mullet anymore. I mean, how did we miss Gundy and Petrino?
I don't know.
That was a total fail on the podcast. I mean, total fail. But look, they were a huge favorite in that game, almost lost. I mean, you talk about them not looking good. They were a 38-point favorite and almost lost. And in Tulsa last week, they're a 10.5-point favorite in that, and they almost lose that. I mean, they got lucky to win that football game, and Tulsa lost a ton of guys. Not only people, but they had a ton of guys transfer, too. Because that defense was so good, they had guys get the opportunity to play at better schools. And that's what happens when you have guys overachieve. So I agree with you. I think the home field advantage for Boise is a really big deal. I think Oklahoma State's going to struggle. We've seen tons of teams go to Boise on a late-night game on that field over multiple coaches at Boise and all go out there and struggle. And I think we see it again.
I would agree. Scotty, let's stay on the West Coast. Let's actually stay up high on the West Coast. BYU, the boys in special underwear, and Arizona State. Game 199, 200 on your rotation sheet. Over-under's 51. BYU getting 3.5 at home. Arizona State scoring 39 points a game, giving up 12. 2-0 straight up. 0-2 against the number. There's BYU, on the other hand, scoring 25 points a game, giving up 16. They're 2-0 straight up, 1-1 against the number. I'll give you where I'm going to go on this, and you tell me what you think. BYU got a humongous win last week when they beat Utah. They have not played well in the Holy War the last 5 or 6 years. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but Utah's kind of dominated them there. I thought Utah kind of gave that game away a little bit to BYU, but that was the least physical Utah team I've seen them play. That's a huge game for BYU, huge game. And they win this one. Now they're getting a short – they're getting points at home. Arizona State's going to be aware that they just beat Utah. Arizona State's also aware that there were some other upsets that are out there. They've got a great coach in Herm and some other NFL coaches that are on that staff. I think they're ready for this one. They got better talent. I'm riding with Fork U, buddy.
You know, I like Arizona State here, but I've also just said earlier in the podcast and said it all year, I think this is probably the best team or certainly the most talented team. I'm a big fan of Arizona State's quarterback. He's a talented kid. But the thing you got to watch for is rushing for both sides. And what it'll be for Arizona State's not just running backs, but can the quarterback get loose on some scrambles and get out and do some things? They're averaging 256 yards on the ground, but BYU's right at 200. They want to do the same thing. They want to be a balanced offense. Even though they're some talented guys, they want to be a balanced team and be able to run the football. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do, because that Arizona State run defense has been nasty, and it played a really, really, actually a pretty good quarterback at UNLV last week, an athletic young freshman who's playing and getting some snaps. So that was a fun game to actually watch. I'm sure most people weren't watching it late at night, but I'm posted up watching that and watching Utah BYU, seeing what's going on. So I feel like I got a good feel for this game after last week. I agree with you. Don't think BYU doubles up and gives us kind of effort that we saw last week back to back. And this is actually a better football team, but this is their third straight Pac-12 football team. They're 2-0 in the Pac-12 right now, and now they got their third South Division team coming in. I think this is the best, but I think this is where it goes apart. But BYU, makes a huge statement if they win this third game. But I just don't think they've got enough to do it to Arizona State as well.
Yeah. Last game, Scotty, let's go Pac-12 after dark. This is a late nighter. Fresno State, UCLA, game 203, game 204 on your rotation sheet. Over-under 63, UCLA's laying 11.5. Both these teams scoring over 40 points a game. Both these teams giving up around 14, 15 points a game. Fresno State's 2-1 straight up, 3-0 against the number. UCLA's 2-0 straight up, 2-0 against the number. I'm going over. I think this is going to be a shootout. UCLA's proven that they can move the ball. They're running Chip Kelly's offense better than I've seen it run since he was at Oregon. Fresno State on the flip side, this is a really good team. They can fling it. This is going to probably be the best offense that UCLA has seen to date. And this is a Fresno State team that should have beaten or had a chance to beat Oregon. So they're used to matching up against teams like this on the road. I think there'll be 5,000 Fresno fans there. I really do think it won't be a giant home field advantage for UCLA. I like the over here. I think we're in a big-time shootout in this spot. And I could probably even get down with Fresno State plus 11.5 because when you got a number that big and it's going to be a shootout, I think you could take the points and get Fresno State in there as well. But I'm going to play the over at 63.
Yeah, what I think that people are, you know, really, really missing about this game is because, look, UCLA is better on defense, and Fresno held – Oregon to as many points as on the road as Ohio State did, but they also were able to, you know, they also are less points actually, but they also were able to score almost as many as Ohio State was. This is a talented team. They had every opportunity to win that game against Oregon. And I think you're going to see a very similar effort again against this team. I think the layoff last week obviously helps UCLA prepare. But I like this Fresno State team. We have liked them all season. We like them in all of our research, and I like them in this ball game. I just think it's going to be a fun, high-scoring game.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an upset brewing here, but I do think they're going to score some points, and they will scare UCLA.
Scott, that is the board. Those are our nine games. This is the squarest board you and I have ever had. We've got a bunch of overs. We've got some road favorites. This is everything that anybody that does this for a living would tell you not to do. But I'm telling you, the public wins sometimes. I think this is a weekend we still win. I feel like we're on the better teams when we got these short numbers. I like where we're going here. You got any other games you want to talk about?
I do. I'm gonna give you I think I won't go away without disappointing all my Mississippi friends and not talk about Mississippi State. And I'll also talk about the Rebels a little bit more. But I think State is going to cover at Memphis. I just don't think that Memphis offense is going to be able to run the football on Mississippi State the way they have to run it to score the kinds of points that they're going to need to score in this game. That State defense is better than I think I gave them credit for. They got some really good linebacker play. They brought in a backup, a kid named Jet Johnson, who candidly was outstanding last week. And he was playing for an injured player, Nathaniel Watson. And I don't know that Watson's going to get his job back because Johnson was great. I mean, he did a phenomenal job all over the field and always in the right spot. And I think State's got some players. Kid, I'm going to tell you, there's a kid named Tyce Wheat. If your NFL team is a 3-4 football team, you better hope they draft his ass for outside linebacker because that cat can get it done. He can get back in coverage. He can get to the quarterback. He's physical against the run. That kid's a player. Senior Bowl was there looking at him last week. There's zero doubt he's not going to play in that game. I think from everything I heard about the feedback at the game, that kid's a player. I just don't think Memphis is going to be able to run the football the way they've been able to do it. And I would also tell you, I got a little bit of love for Ole Miss this weekend on a couple of things. I think they're going to drill Tulane. I think the vault will be rocking. Everybody's all fired up. This first, especially after what went on with Oklahoma, they're not going to surprise them. And I think Ole Miss is going to be really good. But I think they're going to beat them handily. So as a result, I think that game may stay under that big total of 76. So a little bit going against the grain there because I think everybody and their mother is going to take over 76 in that game. But I think that's a game that could stay under. And then I'll let you cover a couple of other games you like before I get to my surprise for everybody because I got a couple of money line bets. A
couple of games people ask us to talk about UAB, North Texas. UAB's coming to North Texas. They got whacked last week by Georgia. Asking if they think UAB could be in a flat spot against North Texas. North Texas is not very good. I feel like this is going to be Seth Luttrell's last year. UAB is going to come in here. This is a perfect spot for UAB to get it back on the track, get you a nice road win. They're laying 12. I don't love that. I'm going to pass on it, but I definitely think UAB gets the win at North Texas. Another one people wanted to talk about was Arkansas State and Washington. Boy, if you are a Washington fan, I am so sorry for you. Because as of 2 weeks into the season, you are averaging 8.5 points a game. And your offense literally looks like it should be averaging 8.5 points a game. I have no idea if Arkansas State can stay within 16.5, but it is really hard for me to get excited about laying 16.5 points with Washington. This team has not been impressed. There's a lot of people that thought this team was going to win the North. You've downgraded significantly in your coaching staff with your head coach. I do not like hiring within. I did not like the offensive coordinator hire. I'm not big on it. Prove me wrong, Washington, and go out and put up a real game and cover against a Sun Belt team, because by God, you should. Last one I'll put to you, Texas in a rebound game. I'm just going to sum this up real quick. Texas, you cannot lose to food. You need to go beat Rice handily. You've got to bounce back from that Arkansas game because you looked like dog shit. And you got to bounce back and move on with the new quarterback laying 26 in this spot.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot to bring up a little Woo Pig Suey. That was a good off the grid bet for me last week. Boy, Arkansas looked good. And I think KJ Jefferson's really doing, I think Kendall Bryles doing a really, really good job getting that kid ready to play. And that defense was as salty as I expected it to be for Arkansas. I think that team's better than most people gave them credit for, because everybody had them in Mississippi State in the cellar and distantly behind the other teams in front of them. And I don't know if that's going to be the case for the Hogs. I think they're a pretty good football team. Schedule's tough, but they've still got a pretty good football team. I will tell you, I like me some Michigan State going on the road at Miami. I think Miami is floundering. It is very much what you said about Penix. I think the same thing is true for King. I think he's not healthy. I don't think this team is remotely. They probably should have lost to Appy State last week.
Yeah.
And I think this is a significantly better team. Michigan State's playing with a lot of confidence after drilling Northwestern and coming out. I think this is a potential money line bet. And I got a little bit of love because I like the over-under in that Virginia-UNC game already at 66.5. I think this is going to be a shootout. But I think Virginia can win this game straight up. I think you got a money line play here, and you get you some big numbers. You're plus 260 right now on Virginia, and you're plus 200 on Miami. Get you a little two-game parlay on the money line there. Get you plus 980 for a $100 bet. Put you $100 on this parlay and see what you can slide out there. May have a nice weekend.
Hey, you only got to win it 1 out of 10 times to pay for it. So, absolutely, you can get that done. A couple games I passed on. Boston College, Temple's awful. I mean, awful. Only reason this line's not bigger is because Boston College has got to start a new quarterback. Everything I'm reading, they like this kid. So I would expect they're still going to run the game plan with him. But Temple is a disaster. Rod Carey needs to go. Michigan, Northern Illinois, not much excitement there for me. But, yeah, I think this is a really good slate of games. A&M's got to get it done with a new quarterback against New Mexico. Everybody wants to bet this game at minus 28, and now the line's all the way up to minus 29.5, and they're talking about the backup quarterback. He's going to come in and play loose. I don't disagree with that, and I know they've got more talent than New Mexico. The only reason I'm not taking New Mexico here is I don't know how they're going to score, because A&M's defense is actually really, really good, but he's about to get matched up with what I think is one of the best defensive minds coaching college football of our lifetime, and that's Rocky Long. And he's going to see that 3-3-5, and I can definitely see New Mexico. If they can put up 14 points, I think they could stay within the number here at 29.5. So that would be my lean in that spot as well.
Yeah, I just got to bring up, look, man, Carson Strong doing Carson Strong things for Nevada. And they go on the road to play Kansas State, and they are favored in that ball game with Thompson being out. Now, Will Allen played a good bit for them last year at K-State, so it's not like he's coming in blind. But, boy, that is going to be a fun game to watch. I'm not going to bet on that game because, you know, just at the end of the day, it's a Big 12. It's a Power 5 school versus the Mountain West school. But, man, at Nevada – That's a good football team. They get a W there. And I really like my over under win total from my Nevada pick as we talk about that. And then the last thing that I'll tell you, I will end up betting this game. I just don't know how much. 31.5 is a ton for South Carolina. I don't think they've got a snowball's chance in hell of winning this game, but I think they can keep it within 31.5 because this is a rivalry game, and they are going to give it their all. And I just don't think that Georgia offense is that explosive, even though South Carolina is one of the worst teams in the Southeastern Conference. But that's a ton of points in a series that has been traditionally pretty darn close.
Yeah, the only other game I'm going to play that I've already played is the under on the Texas Tech FIU game. Probably going, you're playing under on Texas Tech. I don't know if you've watched this team the last couple of years, but they don't run with tempo. They're not running an air raid or any variation of it. But defensively, Matt Wells has shored this team up. You're going to have to get 54 points here. Florida International's offense is putrid, and I just don't see him scoring a whole lot of points in this game. I could easily see this game being 35-10, and you get the cover on the under. I haven't looked at the weather yet, but if it's over 14 miles an hour, then obviously that plays in your favor, because if you get wind over 50 miles an hour, typically unders are the play in that spot. I think it covers at nearly a 60% rate. And if you've never been to Lubbock, Texas, the wind blows a little bit out that way. So you can enjoy that one. But anyway, Scotty, that's the board. What's your favorite play of the week?
I've been sitting here going back and forth and back and forth on what I thought I was going to take. And I'm going to take Bama laying the 8.5.
I'm going Nebraska, Oklahoma over 62 is where we're going to go with that one. So you're going back to the Bama first half. I like it.
Man, I'm telling you, but that we have won so much money betting on those guys, and they just look so much better than everybody else already this year. Just hard not to do it.
Yeah, I would agree. And the funny thing was is when the books finally caught on, because normally if you're betting the first half, it's a 1 point, maybe a 1.5 point, sometimes even shade, right? And it's been like that forever. And in most games, it is like that. When Bama got on that train a couple of years ago with Kiffin, and then even through Sark, I mean, you would look up and the line would be 35 and they would be 26-point favorites in the first half. It was nuts. And so you're actually getting a decent number here. That's when we had to start betting the overs. And we were counting on somebody else to score in there. But you're getting a good line here. I mean, this is an old-school Bama first-half line. I mean, the over-under, the total on this game, I think, is 14.5, 15, and you're getting 8.5. And so you're not getting that much shade, but I definitely can see Bama coming out and putting it on them and then just shutting Florida down in the second half. But I'm going to go Nebraska, Oklahoma. I think we're going to have a shootout. I think Oklahoma may score 48, 50 points on their own. And I don't have to get a whole lot out of Nebraska to get there. That's what we're going to call it a day. Scott, it's been fun. We're on the right side of the ledger so far. Let's hope we can keep that up. Folks, you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at NitMark. He is ScottDenson1. And you can also hit us up at The Crazy Sheet. Give us some reviews, rate us, share us with your friends. We're getting a lot of good feedback on the show. We love to hear from you. This is the highlight of our week, and we look forward to helping y'all make a couple of bucks. We'll talk to you next week. Love you.